Good morning, brothers and sisters. We will go through Epistle of Colossians and 1 Thessalonians coming 5 weeks. So today we are back to Colossians. Do you remember how many verses that we have finished? Chapter 1. And we have completed chapter 2, verse 1 to 8. So today we are going to look at chapter 2, verse 9 to 15, which proves the sufficiency of Christ for us. Paul motivates us to find our sufficiency in Christ. In Him alone. If you read this passage, it will help you to know you have sufficiency only in Christ. You leave this place full of conviction about the sufficiency of Christ. You will understand Paul's heart. He demotes other things that false teachers are exalting. We need angels. We need philosophies. We need that one, this one. But Paul is going to help us to know our sufficiency is only in Christ. Amen. That's what he is going to help us. Brothers and sisters, Christ is enough. We don't need anything else. That is the lesson we are going to learn today. Did you observe the feeding baby? He finds sufficiency only with her mother only. She cannot go to anybody else, even father. When the baby is taking milk from mom, the only sufficient for that baby is mother. That is true with us even. Our sufficiency find only in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is helping us today. Just we read chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 to 15 we read, because he is connecting verse 8 to verse 8 and 9. We read verse 8 onwards. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Verse 9. For in him all fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him you are also circumcised with circumcision made without hands, in the removal of body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Look at verse 12. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you are also raised up with him through faith in the work of God, who raised him from the dead. Verse 13. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having cancelled out the certificate of debt, consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Verse 15. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. If you read this passage, it is very clear that Paul is saying to us, we need to find our sufficiency in Christ alone. In Christ alone. Look at verse 9. It says, for. He started with word for. That means he is connecting verse 9 to verse 8. He is giving the reason to why we should find the Christ as our only sufficiency. He is giving cause and basis, the ground of why we should not follow false teachers, the philosophy, all things which are connected to it, the human traditions, elementary principles. He is helping us. Okay, we don't want to follow philosophies, so what to do? You need to find the sufficiency in Christ alone, not anything else. Look at verse 9, it says, in Him the fullness of deity dwells. Verse 10, in Him you have been made complete. Verse 11, in Him you are also circumcised. Verse 12, having been buried with Him, raised up with Him. Look at verse 15. Verse 13 also, He made you alive together with Him. Verse 15, He made public display of them, having triumphed over them through Him. Through Him. All these praises will strongly declare our sufficiency is in Christ alone, not in anything else. Don't follow philosophies. Don't follow all these, the worldly things. You need to find your sufficiency only in Christ. He is helping us. Three facts that motivate us to find our sufficiency in Christ. The first fact that motivates us to find our sufficiency in Christ is divine essence dwells in Christ. Divine essence dwells in Christ. Look at verse 9. It says, in Him all fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. The idea is, in Him the full of deity dwells in bodily form. As a man, even though he has a body, he contains full of deity in him, in his body. If you see the meaning of deity, the meaning of the word deity is the state of being a God, state of being God, or having divine characteristics, having divine nature, having divinity. It is also says Godhead. He is fully God. He has deity in Him. Jesus Christ is being God. He has divine nature or character. Look at the word fullness. Can you see that word fullness? The idea is the fullness of deity being in Christ. See, sometimes people say, He is God, but not fully. He is not fully God. Can you see what Paul is saying? Fullness, the full of deity dwells in Christ. The full deity being in Christ. We can say the full measure of deity is in Christ. All His nature, all His attributes are equal to God's nature, God's attributes. He is exactly equal to God, even though He is man, even though He has body. That's what Paul is saying. He says that, look at the word, in bodily form. The idea is the manner. He is explaining the manner. How did the fullness of deity dwells? He gave answer, bodily form. So the idea is Christ is God eternally, but after He became man, also fully He has deity in Him. He is fully God and fully man. That's what Paul is saying. Look at the verb dwells. Even the idea is fullness of deity lives, dwells in ongoing state. It is not right to say sometimes the deity dwells in Jesus Christ. Sometimes deity of Christ, deity is not dwells in Christ. That is not right. He continually contains the deity in His bodily form. This is not a temporary dwelling, brothers and sisters, but permanent dwelling. False teachers believed that the fullness of God dwells somewhere else. They are teaching. Look, they are going to churches. They are meeting people. They are saying the fullness of deity dwells in something else, like angels. No, no. Paul is saying the fullness of deity dwells in only Christ. But He did not show up all His divine attributes as complete man. He does not make Him less to God. He is fully God. That is why He called as God-man. God-man. He is 100% man. He is 100% God. Even God the Father is not a man. Even God the Holy Spirit is not a man. They both have divine nature, But Jesus Christ is unique person. He has two natures. He has the divine nature. He has human nature. For that also we need to praise him. So he became man, right? For our sake, we know that. Here Paul is teaching us the truth about the two nature of Christ. He is defending the truth because of false teaching in Colossae. Gnosticism says that no good lives in materials. If God becomes man, that is, he is not good. There is no deity in Jesus Christ. That's what the false teachers are teaching there. But Paul is attacking the false teaching with the truth. So Jesus became man. Some people say Jesus became man, so he is not God. Some people question how he can be a man, how he can be a God. When he became man, why he did not lose his divinity? But I want to give you an illustration. It's like if you read Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 7, you can read God, Christ emptied himself, taking the form of bond servant. Which means, some people say he emptied himself means he lost his divinity, deity. That is not saying that one. He did not use his divinity as a man fully. To understand that he is a man, he is a God, the full deity of God, it dwells in Christ, we can understand like this. In ancient days, the chief army officer, chief army commander, he used to fight in the war. To fight in the war, what they do, he will remove his badge. He will take out that badge. Why they will take out badge? If enemies will attack the commander, if they kill the commander, they can kill everybody. They can win the war. For that, no, they will remove their badge, then they will go as like common soldiers. Let me ask you like this. My question is, did the chief commander stop being a chief commander while he is fighting? But he did not reveal himself. He hidden his office for the sake of good things. Same thing, even Jesus Christ, he did not use his divine power, divine attributes all the time because he is completely man. But he possesses the divinity continually, permanently. Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, is sufficient for us because he is God and man. There is evidence for Jesus' birth. We know that even years are measured by Jesus' birth. Before Christ, after Christ. We will measure that. He is a real man. If he is a real man, the doubt is, if he is man, is he God? Paul is helping us. He is God. Why should people believe him as a God if he is a man? The reason is, this fullness of deity lives in bodily form. So that is the answer. Leon Morris, he said about deity of Christ. It says like this. Deity is not an easy term to define, but it is not impossible to imagine a line that separates God from all God's creation. So that one side God is, and another side everything less than God is. If we ask which side of line Jesus Christ is to be found, the answer is given by all New Testament writers, is God's side. It's like line is there between. God is one side, all creation is one side, but Christ is with God, God's side, because he is God. Another author said, the doctrine of Christ's deity is not based on a few proof of texts. Rather, it is woven into the very fabric of New Testaments. You can see the deity of Christ everywhere, most of the scriptures. Many scriptures declares, clarifies, Jesus has divine nature. You can see some proofs from the Bible where Jesus Christ was called God, where Christ himself agreed he is God. Why people want to trust in God, trust in Jesus? Why people doubt about Jesus? Because they are doubting about his deity. Even though they come to church, even though they know Bible, but inside they doubt. They don't want to submit Christ. They don't want to even take baptism because they are somehow they are doubting deity of Christ. Is he really God? But Paul is helping us. See, he is really God. He has divine nature. The first proof, now you can see chapter 1 verse 15. He says, he is the image of God. John Gospel chapter 20 verse 28 says, Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. He did not condemn. Why you are calling me God? Because he knows he is God. He accepted his worship. John Gospel 13 verse 13 says, you call me teacher and Lord. You are right, for so I am. Did you see? Most of the time, no, these false teachers, they will argue with us. They are arguing with Christians. When did Christ told? When did Christ tell that he is God? Did you see here? You call me teacher and the Lord. You are right, for so I am. I am Lord. Titus chapter 2 verse 13 says, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus. The appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior. The Savior is great God. That is the answer. That's what Paul is saying. Acts chapter 20 verse 28 says, be on guard for yourself and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Look at this phrase carefully. To shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. To shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Even modern false teachers, like Jehovah Witness, they always say, Jesus is not God. He is not equal to God. But you put this verse, you ask them, did Father died on the cross? They say, no, Father did not die on the cross. Then you ask next question. It says the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. God purchased with his own blood. If God the Father did not die on the cross, but it is saying God purchased with his own blood, that means that is Jesus. Jesus is God. If you show these verses, no, they will run away from you. They will run away from you. They don't want to talk with you. The scripture is very clear, brothers and sisters. I can give you many verses to prove Jesus Christ is God. There are plenty of verses that say Christ is God. His deity is proved through his miracles. His deity is proved through his origin. His deity is proved through his work of creation. His deity is proved through pre-existence. There are many things to prove Jesus is God. His deity is proved through the declaration of God. Even God said about Jesus, you are God. God called Jesus as God. You can read Hebrew. Brothers and sisters, if the Bible says the fullness of deity only lives in Christ, it is showing the deity is not in others. See, I can wear same shirt as Brother Mario and Subhas. So we can wear each other's shirt. We can have each other's things which is similar. But what Paul is saying, no one has the deity of the divinity except Jesus Christ. Amen. Only he has. Amen. We cannot find the deity in anybody else. Others worship by all. They do not contain the deity. People are worshiping, right? They are worshiping idols. They are worshiping men. They are worshiping many things. What Paul is saying, they did not contain the deity. Only Christ contained the deity. We know that God hates those who worship idols. God hates those who are worshipping men beings. God hates those who are not worshipping, those who think that there is no God. But here Paul is explaining us, proving us Jesus is God. Why you are doubting Jesus' deity? Sometimes everything is fine. You say, Jesus, you are hallelujah, you are God. But something is happening in your life, sad things. Is he God? We will doubt, right? But Paul is saying, he is God. He is fully God, even though he is man. But people are worshipping immoral things here. If you are doubting about this Christ, his deity, do you want to worship, do you want to follow immoral people, immoral things in the world, which were made by human beings? Jesus Christ is God. That is our motivation, to find sufficiency in him. He is enough because he is God. The second fact that motivates us to find our sufficiency in Christ is our completeness is in Christ. Look at verse 10 to 12. It says, in him you have been made complete. The meaning of the verb complete is to make full, to fill, to fill up. The idea is here, they have been brought to the fullness in Christ's sphere of life. Colossians have come to fullness of life in him. They are filled in him. They are infilling in him. It includes salvation, right? We are completed in Christ. He used perfect tense. It states continuing state as a result of some previous action. Here Paul is saying that Colossians were filled in him. That state continues. The idea is Colossians have been filled by God because of this action is done by God. They possess all the fullness, completeness in Christ through faith in him and being united with him. You cannot be complete. You don't have fullness of life outside of Jesus Christ. Even it says, Philippians chapter 1 verse 11 says, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ. You have been filled with the fruit of righteousness. Can you see completeness in Christ? Believers are filled with the fruit of righteousness through Jesus Christ by God. Whatever the fruit of righteousness, whatever fruit of spirit that believers filled, it is because of Christ. Romans chapter 15 verse 14, it says, concerning you, my brethren, I myself also, I am convinced that yourself are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. Believers are filled with full of goodness and knowledge. We are completed in Jesus Christ. False teachers speak about the fullness of life coming through philosophy, which is from human tradition, which is from angelic beings, spiritual beings. He says, right, verse 8, they are following those things. They are searching for that to complete their life in them. But Paul contradicts, the fullness of life is only in Christ. False teachers teach and believe that they need to experience the fullness of life when they depend on demonic spiritual beings, when they follow a strict discipline of rituals and customs. Can you see many things they are following to complete their life, to get fullness of their life? But Paul is saying, Colossians, you are completed in Jesus Christ. Brothers, the possession of all things in Christ, that should not make us to think that no need for spiritual growth. Even though we have everything in Christ, even though we are completed in Christ, but we need to grow spiritually day by day. It should not make us lazy to grow in our perfection towards Christ. Amen. But we have everything, his blessings, spiritual blessings, his salvation. We are completed.
We need nothing. We have enough Jesus Christ. We are completed in Christ. Two things that prove our completeness is in Christ. First thing that proves our completeness is Christ is His power. His power. He is the Lord over all spiritual powers. Look at verse 10. Part B it says, He is the head over all rule and authority. He is the Lord over all spiritual rule and authority. You have been filled in Him, who is head over every rule and authority. Paul describes here the one in whom they have been complete. He is the head over all rule and authority. Paul is making false teachers who promote these rule and authorities as fools. Are you want to follow these spiritual beings? Even they are submitting to Christ. Christ is the head of all rule and authorities. He is humiliating them by telling the truth about the headship over those whom they seek the fullness of life. Colossians, they don't need to pay their respect towards the principalities and power, because for the one in whom they are completed is the Lord and Master to them. Even they are submitting to them. Jesus Christ is the Lord. Jesus Christ is Master. He is supreme of such beings. He is saying that Christ is ruling even those spiritual beings. He is the Master. How can be Jesus Christ be a master of these demonic influences, all spiritual beings? Look at Colossians chapter 1 verse 16. It says, For by Him all things were created, both in the heaven and on the earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers, authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is the creator of these beings. So He is the head of those beings. Do you think Jesus Christ is less than these angelic beings, demon beings? But what He is saying, no, He is the master of those evil beings. Jesus is giving permission for them to exist without being bound. Sometimes preachers or charismatic pastors, they will say that, I will bind this demon. You cannot bind the demon. Even Jesus Christ did not bind demons. He allowed to exist, to accomplish His purposes. They continue to exist because He is allowing them to exist. He will judge them one day, do you know? He is going to judge one day. You can read in Revelation. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 24 to 27 says, Then comes to the end, when He hands over the kingdom to the God, the Father, when He has abolished all rule and authority and power. Verse 25. For He must reign until He has put all His enemies under His feet. The last enemy will be abolished is death. For He has put all things in subjection under His feet. But when He says all things are put in subjection, everything in the world is under Jesus Christ. He is the Lord. He is the Master. He is Supreme Lord. Even to spiritual beings. His power helps us to know our completeness is in Christ Jesus. Why do you want to run after these things, Colossians? You need to run to Christ. That's what He is saying. He is exalting Christ because He is Master. You should not depend on the philosophy which are related to rulers and authorities for the fullness of life. You should not depend on teachings which are influenced by demon things, like false teachings. But you should depend on the one who is the head of them. If you are thinking that about Satan, who is allowed to exist, believe me, he can't touch a believer. He can't do anything with us, because he has to take permission from Jesus to harm you. Sometimes small things we will afraid of. Maybe some demon is doing something. Maybe he is behind this accident. Maybe he is behind because I did not get job. No, he can't do with you, brothers. He cannot touch you. Even he knows that. What about Job? He touched Job after taking permission. God allowed him to touch Job, even not his soul, to touch his body only. Whatever it is, brothers and sisters, whether it is false teachings, whether it is demon influences, anything, they cannot touch you if you are a child of God. Amen. Because their master is your master, your savior. Amen. So that is our confidence. It says, right, Romans chapter 8, verse 38 to 39, it says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, no powers, no heights, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. Jesus Christ, his master, he is Lord over all spiritual powers. So we can believe Christ is enough for us. Christ is enough for us, not these spiritual beings. Because they are worshipping these spiritual beings. If you read chapter 2, they rejected Christ. They are preaching that the angels are more powerful than Jesus. But we can see Jesus is more powerful than these angelic beings. Second thing that proves our completeness is Christ. Completeness is Christ. Is his work. He united us in his saving works. His work. He united us in his saving works. Look at verse 11 to 12. It says, "In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision." Verse 12. "Having been buried with him in baptism, you were also raised up with him." Can you see? He united us with his saving works. Whatever he went through with that occasion, with that work, he united us. He went to do these three things instead of us. Paul is describing believers' participation in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Romans chapter 6 verse 3, it says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ, Jesus, have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him with baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." But ultimately, God is doing through Christ three saving work that he united us. The first saving work that he united us is in his death. Look at verse 11. "In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision which was made without hands." Look at the word circumcision. Literal meaning is to cut off around. And it was used in New Old Testament to denote physical circumcision, which indicates an outward sign of the covenant between God and God's people. Genesis chapter 17, we can see. In Old Testament, this word used in an ethical sense also. Physical sense, ethical sense. The circumcision of heart. This shows obedience to the covenant God. But here, Paul is not using that. Paul is saying something else. Look at the phrase. The circumcision was circumcision made without hands. How did these Gentiles went through circumcision? Colossians are Gentiles, right? Most probably. So Paul is not talking about general circumcision. He is talking about something else. He is contradicting Jewish circumcision, which is done by hand of man, with the work of God. This is the work of God completely. Look at the remaining verse of 11. To understand what it means to be circumcised in him. Verse 11. In the removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. The Greek idea is about two things referred to how believer was circumcised. He says he was circumcised. How believer were circumcised? In the removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Two things. In two ways you are circumcised. If you understand what is the meaning of removal of body of flesh and circumcision of Christ, you will understand what is the meaning of circumcision of believers. What he is saying. It is a difficult passage to understand. You need to listen very carefully what Paul is saying here. The removal of the body of flesh is showing the violent death of Christ. Removal of the flesh. It is showing that Jesus Christ's death on the cross. Peter O'Brien, a good commentator, he helped me with this passage. He said, a circumcision of believers that involved not the bearing of a small portion of flesh, but the violent removal of the whole body in death. Christ's death was a violent and horrible one. To say no more than this, the phrase is pointing to Christ's violent death, removal of the body of flesh, which is showing Christ's violent death. The circumcision of Christ, the second one, circumcision of Christ, he used, right? That is not referring his childhood circumcision as a Jewish boy. He is not talking that one. It is denoting the circumcision that Christ suffered. That is his crucifixion. 1 Corinthians, to understand this, the phrasing, the 1 Corinthians 15:3 says, for I deliver to you as a first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and he was buried, that he was raised. Can you see order? He said about his death, then he said about his burial, then he said about resurrection. Here also Paul is saying same thing in different way, but he did not use death there, but he used circumcision. The circumcision of Christ is talking about the death of Christ. Death of Christ. We cannot take general meaning from this passage. Paul is very clear because the Colossians may facing the circumcision. He is using that phrase explaining the Christ's death. The circumcision of Christ is referring his crucifixion. What Paul is saying here, you are circumcised. That means you are dead in death of Christ. When he died, you also died in his death. Literally, you were crucified with Jesus Christ. Can you see the amazing, the reality? Jesus was crucified, but Paul is saying, you were also crucified with Jesus Christ. In your place, he was crucified. Like that, you were circumcised. That means you were dead in his death. Even Romans chapter 6, verse 6 says, knowing that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slave to sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized in his death? So he is replacing baptism into the place of circumcision. He used circumcision in the place of baptism. The baptism is showing the death. Here circumcision is showing the death. So you are dead in the death of Christ. So you are dead with Christ. That's what Paul is try to explain. So we no need to take circumcision, but baptism is enough. What is the reference to baptism? When you are taking baptism, you are dead, you are buried, then you raised again. The same phrases he is using. So I took many time to let, so that you may understand what Paul is saying. The circumcision of believer is equal to death of believer, because it is replacing baptism. The second saving work that he united us in is in his burial. Look at verse 12. Having been buried with him in baptism. Colossians' burial with him in baptism shows that they were truly involved in his death and laid in his grave. Jesus' body put in the grave, but what Paul is saying, no, even your body, my body, put beside Jesus Christ. It is not including that believers dead as Jesus died on the cross. We are not dying on the cross. We will die different ways, but even our body put in the grave in the Jesus Christ. That's what he is saying. This is showing the legal participation of believers with Christ in burial. If we won't go through this, we won't get salvation. Because of our sin, we should die. Jesus Christ died, he buried, so we also with him. This is also work of God. The thought saving work that he united us in is in his resurrection. Look at verse 12. It says, in which you are also raised up with him through the faith in the work of God who raised him from the dead. Good translation. It says, right, in which. But good translation says like this. You also have been raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1. It says, it is past tense. Paul is using past tense intentionally. Chapter 3 verse 1. Therefore, you have been raised with Christ. Keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. Verse 6. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you know where you are sitting now? You are sitting in heaven, beside Jesus Christ, spiritually. Even though we are living on the earth, but spiritually we are in heaven. That's why we won't lose our salvation. It is very clear. The false teachers were saying that believers in Colossae are not completed in Christ. They needed to follow and legalistic things and philosophies, angelic beings, you need to follow all those things. We are not completed. But Paul is saying here, you are completed because you are united in his death. You are united in his burial. You are united in his resurrection. You are raised. Who was raised with Christ? Look at verse 12 says, through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. The one who trusted the power of God who raised him from the dead. If you won't trust the power of God which raised Jesus Christ from dead, you can't be a believer. You must trust the power of God, powerful God. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 19 to 20, you can understand the power of God which raised Jesus Christ from dead. Verse 19, what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the work of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Jesus, God the Father, has power. By his power he raised Jesus Christ. Even Jesus Christ has power to rise from the dead. But The great thing is he united us even in his resurrection. We rose already. We rose already. We have life. We have eternal life. He went through it. God does not raise one who does not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you are not believing the resurrection of Christ, you are not saved. You are not saved. That's what Paul is saying. He is a powerful, mighty God who raised you from the dead. God united your death, your burial, your resurrection in Christ. He went through all saving work instead of us. Only in Christ, not outside of Christ. Not in angels, not in man, but only in Christ. We are united in the saving works. If you are united with Christ in saving works, you are filled in him. You don't need anything else. You don't need anything else. One of our church members, he was sharing about, we are discussing about trains. Recently, Vande Bharat Express has come. You know, one person booked one train ticket. Then he is waiting on the platform. The Vande Bharat Express has come. Then he has seen that Vande Bharat Express. Then he went inside to go to toilet, to see how toilet was, how toilet is. Then he went and he did. He finished his work. He came out, train is running. Door was closed. Then TC came and fined him 6,000 rupees. Then he has, train will stop almost after 100 kilometers, wherever it stops. He need to come back again. Then what about his train, for which he is waiting? He faced many problems. True incident happened. See, what I am saying, philosophies, other things, they are looks like Vande Bharat Express, which is not belongs to you. Which is not belongs to you. You did not book that Vande Bharat Express. Your train is different. You have your sufficiency in the train. You need to go in the train. You need to wait for the train. If you are going out of from that train, if you are attracted by other things, you will face. You need to give your price. You will suffer. Small way I told how he suffered. 6,000 for toilet. When the brother is telling, I was laughing. Aray, he paid 6,000. See, if you are not focusing on Jesus Christ, if you are not having sufficiency in Jesus Christ, if you want all philosophies, all false teaching, that one, this one, they looks like very famous, very beautiful. If you go after those things, you will face problems. You are in danger. Be sufficient. Finding the sufficiency only in Christ, not anything else. God may help us. God may give us the strength to find sufficiency only in Christ, because the divine essence dwells in Christ. Amen. Our completeness is in only Christ. He won the race. The thought fact that motivates us to find sufficiency in Christ, we will see next time. God may help us to find our sufficiency only in Jesus. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for sending your Son to die on the cross instead of us. Lord, help us to find our sufficiency in Jesus, not in other things, Lord. Lord, bless the church, Lord. Take away all false teachings, our errors, Lord, from us, Lord. Help us not follow those philosophies, false teachings, Lord. Help us to have satisfaction only in Jesus. Help us, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.